Kieran, are you there? Is this on?
Hello?
Hello? What? Ready? Are we recording?
Are we?
I think so.
Is this it?
This could be it. This could be episode 23 of the Back to Front Show.
Indeed. Finally.
Finally. Finally. It says that here.
It says in brackets in our show notes.
With a, what the Americans call a bang at the end.
Yeah, it's wrong. It's wrong.
Exclamation. Is it a mark or a point? You're an academic.
Mark.
Is it mark?
Yeah.
Okay. So, where have we been? It's been, over 2 months since our last confession.
There's been complaints.
Well, at least two.
At least, yeah.
I think it was the same person, wasn't it?
Yeah, twice, yeah.
Hello, Ian. How are you? Hope you're listening.
Hello, mate.
Yeah, I bumped into Mr. Wooten at Port 80 event last Friday. And
you did? Did you?
I did, yeah. And he said he was missing the show.
Right.
So here
good
we
enough
are.
Reason to bring it back.
It is. What is our excuse? Do we have one?
Busy.
Busy. It says here you've been travelling to Smashing Conf, an event apart beyond Telerand.
Now you're mixing us up like people doing coffee shops.
Well, we do look similar.
Well, not really. Similar name.
You wear a cap. That's about the only difference.
Yeah, I wear a cap. Checky shirt.
What are you? Which caps have you? Have you got the summer one out? We've had a few.
Yeah, I'm currently sporting the 88 hat that is featured on the Back to Front Show website.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Vintage.
Yeah, we're going vintage. Vintage summer.
Vintage summer.
It's in this year. It's a lookbook.
It has a lookbook. Yeah. Vintage summer really is. Is mostly rain in the UK, of course.
Yeah. Pretty much dull.
Have you got your window open, though? Because there's a faint hum of wells in the background.
There is no windows open in this house. It's just very drafty and badly sealed. And this is rush hour.
And who's been doing most of the work on your house, Kieran?
Me. Yeah. That's why it is full of holes.
Yeah. But, hold on. No, you have been somewhere. You've been to Manchester.
I have.
How was that?
Yes. It was actually really, really good. It was a web teaching day.
Okay. Here in the Hive Country, as we called it.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, Richard from MMU, Manchester Metropolitan University, invited a bunch of us up. Well, invited anyone, actually, who teaches the web up to a day in Manchester, hearing people speak about how they deliver web to their students. Really good.
Oh, excellent.
Really good. Had a drink with Mr. Murphy.
Mr. Murphy?
Yeah.
Young Christopher. He'd complete his Kickstarter by this point? Was he celebrating?
Actually, I was sitting there with him in a talk as it happened.
Oh, very nice.
Yes.
Very nice.
He had a congratulatory beer.
Or two,
yeah.
Yeah.
It was all very controlled, actually.
Well, Mr. Murphy was controlled?
Yeah, well, we all were in general, actually. I think it was sort of two beers, then bedtime. That's what teaching does to you.
Well, I suppose once you're, amongst fellow teachers,
yeah,
got to set the right example for the youth.
There were less beards about than I expected.
Really?
Yeah, a lot, very, minimal. 3, I think, I saw.
As a percentage, what would that be, though?
We wouldn't. 5%.
Okay. It's low.
4%. Yeah. A lot less beards, but,
Anyway, enough about beards.
How about you? Where have you been? You've been everywhere.
No, not everywhere. Just
most places.
Well, since our last show, it's a couple of places. It was at Smashing Conf in Oxford, which was really good, and then took a short 10-hour flight over to Seattle for an event apart, and literally just got back yesterday from Beyond Telerand in Germany, which is Mark Thieler's event.
Yes. And how was that?
Really, really good.
Rather good.
Yeah, he's got one of the best venues, I think, for a conference of any sort. Although really? It was a little bit hot, the air conditioning in the theatre decided to have a day off on Monday, but it was fixed for Tuesday. So,
nice.
But it's really nice. It's an old theatre, and so they have like little cocktail tables with these beautiful little red lamps and stuff. And it's quite a unique setting. But cool. Yeah, you would have loved it actually. We went out on the second night to something. I think it's called Schlüssel. I've probably said that entirely wrong.
Is that pork related in some way?
It is. Yeah, basically big platters of pork knuckle.
Bit of charcuterie. Oh, no. I was going to say a bit of charcuterie, but no.
In Germany, no. And there's lots of potatoes and meat, basically.
Right.
Which
nice.
Is great for a vegetarian.
Yeah, what did you do?
Actually, they did a nice kind of pastel-y noodle dish.
Right.
But
pot noodle.
Yeah, das pot noodle. And it was very tasty, actually.
Currywurst flavour.
Yeah, they kept bringing the beers. They served these local beers in sort of half pints, and the guy just kept bringing them round.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the technique is to put your mat on top to say, no more.
Really? And none of you realised that?
None of us realised this, including Oliver Lindberg, the editor of NetMag, who is also from the region. So on the final round, he decided to put his mat on the glass, at which point the waiter laughed in his face, took the mat off the glass and replaced it with another half pint. So basically, if you ever eat at this place, be well and truly prepared to drink lots of beer. But it was very tasty.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it was very good. But yeah, back in Blighty now, which is nice. But yeah, so, big news actually, since our last show. Our friend Craig in Wales. Not only is he getting married soon.
Blimey.
Yeah, I know. But he's actually resurrected from the flames. Five Simple Steps.
Yes, I heard this. Round of applause for Craig.
Round of applause. If we were a certain other podcast, we'd probably have an applause on
We'd probably have some sort of soundboard, but we don't.
We should get one.
No.
Okay. But yeah, Five Simple Steps is back from the... did you say back from the ashes? Risen?
Back from the dead.
Back from the
risen
dead.
Risen from the ashes, yeah.
All of those
like
things.
Like a
phoenix
from the flames.
Like it. So yeah, he's him and Amy, his partner of... they bought that from Emma Mark, and
nice.
all the books are back on sale, and it's all doing really well.
There's a special offer, isn't there? Is that still going?
Oh, you've really put me on the spot now. I don't know. Maybe you could check, Kieran.
Checking.
Fact checking.
Just Phil.
Phil. I saw that Man City won the league.
Collections.
Yeah.
Hang on. Is a collections? Are the collections always £19 for paperback. That's cheap, isn't it?
Again, I'm just leaving this one to you, Kieran.
I think there might be an offer on at the moment, Kieran. I'm not sure. I think it's £6 for the e-books and £19 for the paperback collections. So you get four books.
That's very good, isn't it?
It's a bargain, that is.
But along with that, we should also give the Webbies our favourite. Cardiff-based web conference.
Yes.
Another shout-out, as we said we would.
Yes, okay.
We said we'd do regular ones, and then here we are 2 months later.
Yeah.
But the good news is the pricing has been reduced. They've received some sort of local grant to enable them to lower the prices, and so I think you can get it. I think it's a bargain now. Is it like £199?
It's been reduced even further.
£199 plus VAT for standard seating and £249 for the premium. We talked about the premium tickets, didn't we? It was the love seats.
Blimey.
It's the only web conference you can go as a couple. I think we should get.
Well, definitely.
We should.
Have a kutch, as they say in Wales.
A what?
No, don't ask. Right.
Check out the Webbies.
Cracking lineup as well.
It is. Has he announced more people since we last?
I don't know. We shouldn't. We should check that. Hang on.
Again.
But we're so prepared for this.
Well, who did we say? Oh, yep.
Mark Hopp speaking.
The Mr. Responsive Web himself, the Vaynerchuk powerhouse, Mr. Coos. He's still there.
What, he said he just disappear?
I don't know.
Back out?
Yeah. Why not? I mean, you know. Late now, I'm only joking. He's still not on message though. He's still got the off-brand avatar there.
He has. But he's got a brick wall.
Oh, Mr. Murphy.
It says startup, doesn't it?
Andy Davis, yes, Mr. Performance, as I call him. Nathan Ford. Nathan did a really good talk at Port 80, actually. Probably one of my favourite ones of the day. Yeah, really good. Loads of practical takeaways.
It says here they've still got more to come.
Oh, Frank Camaro's there.
I know.
Wow.
I was going to call him Frank Camino.
Is Hello. It Chimero? Chimera.
Chimero. Anyway, yeah, but, Frank's there.
Frank's there. So go check it out. www, as the kids say, .theweb.is. We were joking, actually, because it was the Net Awards recently as well. I've forgotten I'd gone there.
Yeah, Net Awards.
And
24 Ash Moods.
I was joking with Chris Orwood, who runs Second Wednesday, that we should set up a rival event called The Web Isn't. And Chris had maybe had a sherbet or two, promptly at the dinner table registered the Twitter account.
That was like Chris Murphy at the at Web Teaching Day being tempted to register the flabbystartup.com.
he has to. That's a Kickstarter waiting to happen, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Oh, we should run one of those.
What, a Kickstarter?
No, a flabby startup.
Yeah, we should.
That's it.
Kind of having my time. Yeah. Anyway, Keir, yeah, back on message.
Message? We have one?
Yes, yes.
Right, so, in the news this week.
Uh-huh, breaking.
Well, we've had to we did have a show planned for about 6 weeks ago, so we've had to revisit the news.
Rejig it.
See what's new going on.
Yeah.
And I don't like doing blatant plugs, as you know, on this show.
It's never happened before.
It's never happened. No. But.
But.
Our friend and yours, Mr. Michael Coos.
Aforementioned.
Aforementioned. Soon to be speaking at theweb.is. Has released a video that he's done of his design for a T-shirt commissioned by a company I may work for.
Really?
Yeah.
Which company is that?
Shopify.
Okay.
You may have heard of it. Over 100,000 stores.
I heard it in passing.
Now, on the platform. But no, we at the beginning of the year, we set out to sort of come up with a slogan for the year, mm-hmm. to sort of for branding and that kind of stuff for events and adverts and that kind of thing. And we came up with design is the heart of everything we do with the design team. Literally, cool. This idea that, you know, a lot of people think of SaaS products not really caring about design. And we wanted to show that that's not the case and that, you know, we really value designers and design in general and, you know, front end and all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
And we've often given out T-shirts. People love T-shirts. They love a T-shirt. We thought it'd be fun to do something different, something unique just for this year. Uh-huh. And we did a couple of things. One was a letterpress coaster that we're giving away at sort of in the bags for events, designed by Jen Mazzari out of Brooklyn. Beautiful letterpress thing.
Very nice.
And we commissioned Mike to design a T-shirt. And the brief was literally the slogan. And he documented it all in this really great little sort of 3.5 minute film.
It is a great video.
Yeah, so it's all kind of stop frame animation of his sketching. And then he seems kind of scanning stuff in and photoshopping it. And right through to receiving the shirts and then sort of wandering around Chichester buying a coffee in them, which is really cool.
It is. It's really cool, yeah.
The highlight, of course, is the fact that our friend and yours... our friend and yours? No, does that make sense?
Your friend and mine?
Your friend and mine, Mr. Neil Kinnish, Mr. Mixture.
Mr. Mixture.
Is having a Skype call halfway through while Mike's doing great design work.
And to be fair, Neil's never been known to be on Skype. He's not big on Skype, is he?
Did you tell him about it? Was it only a couple of weeks ago you told him about this thing called Skype?
Yeah, he literally just discovered it.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
It's new.
It's new to Kinnish.
Yeah.
But yeah, go check it out. Mike's, you can find it in his portfolio site, mikecoos.com /portfolios/Shopify, I think. But also, we are giving away a couple of shirts just for the postage on his Shopify store, which is mikecoos.myshopify.com. But having just released them, they may have all gone by the time we finish recording. Who knows?
That's true.
There weren't many, but they're really nice. And the ones that
is it one per household, Keir?
Well, technically yes, but
one per household. I think we should point that out.
We'll have to see, but yeah, we got them printed at White Duck in Bath, my hometown. Now,
recommended by me, was that, or was that somebody else recommended
it,
that?
It might have been. I knew of them.
Yes, they do some great stuff. Absolutely beautiful work, White Duck.
And you can see the process of and printing them and doing that in the video. So big shout out to them. They were really great to work with as well.
In fact, I think at least three of the posters on my wall right now are printed by White Duck.
No, very cool. They were doing, when I went to pick up the shirts, they were doing some BrewDog t-shirts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And nice. They've been given a promo. For anyone who doesn't know what BrewDog is, it's a kind of, what would you say, craft brewery based in Scotland here?
Yeah, micro. Maybe not microbrewery anymore, but yeah, craft brewery, yeah.
And
they also have eateries and stuff, don't they?
Yeah, bars. There's one in Bristol and one in Nottingham and London and various other places.
Mm-hmm.
And they were printing some new teas for them, but they had a new promo, a sort of pre-released beer called Jack Black.
No.
But they were doing the kind of rather colourful t-shirts for that as well. So they cool. do some great stuff there. Check them out. We'll put the link in the show notes.
In the show notes.
So blatant plug over.
Yes.
As the kids would say, sort of slash over or slash plug or whatever. I don't know. What do they say, the kids these days?
Hash plug.
I don't know. Hash not really with the kids.
Hash just saying.
Just say, do you, that's what you do, isn't it?
Just saying.
You're a hashtag fiend, aren't you?
Well.
Hmm?
I've been known to use a hashtag.
How many is, you know...
Too many?
Yeah, how many is too many?
One.
One is too many?
Yeah.
So no hashtags are allowed?
Not really, no.
Hash no hashtag.
Hash no hashtag, yeah.
Liking it. But moving on to cake.
Cake brew.
Yeah, what's this then? This is so kind of, basically, this is something dreams are made of.
You'll like this.
I will?
Yeah. As well, actually, maybe not you, but people like you.
What does that mean? Not me, but people like me.
So a lot of people like the idea of homebrew, but don't particularly like the terminal, right?
I don't find the terminal. I've been known to delete websites from the terminal quite easily.
You've been known to traverse a tree or two, haven't you?
I do like tree. Now that
You do like tree, that? Actually. Tree's one of your favourite commands, isn't it?
Can you install that with cake brew?
Yes.
Brilliant.
Anyway, so cake brew is basically a GUI for homebrew.
Nice.
And it's very useful, especially people who don't particularly like pottering around on the command line. And effectively, it just gives you the same functionality. Oh, I've got all the fuzz are going past. Sorry. It basically gives the same functionality as homebrew, but it does it all through lovely buttons and, you know, nice lists and that kind of thing. And it's completely free and available to download on cakebrew.com. And I have installed it and I've used it and it works very nicely. And actually, one of the things that it does that isn't as easy to do on the command line is to discover what's outdated and to update those things.
Oh, okay.
It literally has a little update homebrew button and you update and then it tells you which things are outdated and you can go through and update those, which is quite nice, you know, for security holes and that kind of stuff.
Do you need to install homebrew first?
I don't think so, no. I think it will do that for you.
Oh, hold on. It says here, installing homebrew through cake command is currently in the to-do list. So you
lying to you. So I obviously already had homebrew installed.
I wouldn't call it a lie.
Well, I was misleading you.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Oh, that looks really useful because Homebrew, how do they describe themselves? Kind of the package manager, the missing package manager for OS X.
Yeah, that's it.
Which is super useful.
It is.
I do love the contrast of websites, whereas the one for Cake Brew is all kind of lovely and graphic and lots of pictures. And you go to the Homebrew site and it's basically...
A couple of commands.
Terminal commands on a brown background. This is serious stuff. Mind you can get it in Norsk. I'm just changing that now. Homebrew. I can't actually... Was it Turkish? What else have we got? Italian? It's good that they've got it in all languages.
To be fair, I'm just looking at the... where's the install?
I don't know.
This is good, isn't it? Silence on it. There we go, at the bottom. It's a one-line Ruby command to install Homebrew. So you do that, then you launch Cakebrew.
Very cool. Now, this looks really useful, actually. What kind of things would people typically install via Homebrew anyway?
Well, I'm thinking things like, you know, if you need a command like wget, for example, or if you need something like, I'm trying to think, ffmpeg installed.
Ffmpeg.
Okay. Stuff that you'd normally have to compile on the command line that you're not particularly keen to do so, you could install via Homebrew.
No, I like it. Looks good. I will be downloading this after the show.
A good example might be that if you wanted to install Nginx, I guess. Or...
everyone's favourite Russian reverse proxy.
Exactly.
Hmm.
Yeah, something like that. You know, I use it for ffmpeg and stuff where I want to crunch videos and things.
Ffmpeg.
But, you know, other people might have other things that they need to do with it.
Oh, very cool. Cakebrew.com.
Yeah, cakebrew.com.
Hmm, very nice. Well, I have a very technical article next.
Yes, this is a bit off-piste, Keir.
I know. Well, I thought you do it all the time. So I thought I'd go off topic.
Is there a link to technology?
Well, lighting.
Right.
Lighting.
Anyway.
Yeah, this was a piece on the web that I found on Alex Hunter's stream. but was referred to him by our friend Greg underscore A.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Greg's coming at it from a photography angle. Alex and I are appreciating it as sort of plain nuts, as it were.
Yes.
And I don't know, what is a plain nut? I'm not a spotter.
You're a plain
That's
nut?
Silly. That's not, no.
Do you stand on little ladders at the end of the chicken wire fence and take photographs through it?
Never done that, no.
No?
No, I watch the odd documentary on sort of history of airlines, but...
You're into the branding, right?
I love it.
Yeah.
Branding. Yeah. Travel branding in general, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
If there is such a thing. Wayfinding. That's another one. Airports are always black and yellow, aren't they?
Yeah.
Black and yellow. But anyway, this is called Binging. This is Binging. It's a Microsoft
product.
Bringing Pan Am back to life, photographing and lighting the first class cabin of a 747. So basically, the article, which is quite long, admittedly, talks about how this guy had collected sort of ephemera over the years of sort of airlines, but he really wanted to recreate the kind of first class cabin or the cabin of a sort of 60s, 70s Pan Am Clipper, as they're all called.
Mm-hmm.
And the attention to detail and kind of the way that he achieves this is just brilliant. And then he hires all these actresses and actors and everything, and they sort of, simulate these scenes, and have got the old uniforms on, and they actually cook the meals that they would have had, like 5-6 course meals cooked in the galley of the first class cabin. And it's just really interesting. It goes into the tech and the lighting and all this kind of stuff, and all the clothes and the fashion and what have you. No, it's just really quite inspiring. And this guy literally has a replica of a plane in a shed somewhere in California.
All right, so it is actually a replica. They've not used the cabin of an old plane.
No, I think they've built it out.
But they've built like a set, yeah?
Yeah, it's a set.
Wow.
And it's just brilliant. And there's a sort of video which I'm sort of halfway through at the top there that talks all about it. And there was a terrible series.
Uniforms are amazing, aren't they?
I know.
The hats are brilliant.
There was a terrible thing called Pan Am, sort of American series, which I admit to watching, just because it was terrible. It's one of those ones that you kind of got sucked in. What's going to happen? They kind of used, I don't know if they didn't use this, but they kind of replicated the interiors and that. And there was an amazing thing at JFK. What was it? It was called the, they used to have this amazing terminal that it's now been demolished. That was this like round terminal. I think, what was it called? The Trans World Terminal or something like that.
Oh, really?
And I think TWA took it over in the end, but it was amazing. It was like the world port or something, and it was like all the planes kind of docked, and they had these. It was all very glamorous. But just check it out in terms of just if you're into photography and planes and branding and that kind of stuff. It's a real eye opener if you've ever travelled, or if you've travelled certainly recently in anything other than economy. You know, nothing matches up now to what they were flying like. When I was in Seattle, actually, I went to the Boeing Museum. And they had one. They had an old kind of 70s plane, and the sort of the economy was so big. You know, you had so much room. The seats were kind of twice as wide, and you had three times as much legroom. It's crazy.
Yeah. I was looking at the branding. I was thinking it's very Draplin.
How do you think?
You know, that sort of that style. You know, he quite like it. I think.
It was called the World Port, the Pan Am World Port.
World Port, right?
And. Kind of amazing terminal at JFK opened in 1960. Really interesting stuff. But so a little bit off piece. But if you do like your planes and your branding and that kind of stuff, and photography, it's
I think really from a design place. Point of view, it's fascinating just looking at this. You know, even the way the chairs change, the different decades of chairs and stuff.
I know, and if you look on the the first photo actually of that kind of, I think they look very familiar, like IKEA.
The plastic white and whatever.
Yeah, all the beautiful pots and pans and, you know, it's all proper cutlery.
There's a woman here carving what looks like roast beef or filet mignon or something.
Yeah, it probably is. Probably is.
Crazy.
Great.
Excuse me, sorry.
Check that one out. But, back on message, we have something from your good self from Mr. Chris Coyer.
Mr. Chris Coyer, yes, who I believe received a, a lifetime achievement award. That's not correct, is it? He's 80 or something.
It's good ass.
Yeah, it was a outstanding contribution at the Net Awards. Is that right?
What did he get?
It was an outstanding contribution,
talk,
I'm sure.
Talk Show 1 podcast of the year, believe it or yeah. not. I mean, I'm shocked that we still...
Anyway, yeah, we're not nominated. No, leave it, leave it.
But yes, something I think it may have been.
So anyway, Chris, I've been wondering about this for a while. You know I'm not Mr. Front End.
I would never say that.
No. So... But I have been wondering about responsive images for a while and, you know, the different solutions available out there. And this is basically a video of Chris figuring out responsive images. And it's quite interesting because it's sort of like he sort of half figured it out before he started the video, obviously. But he is sort of testing as he goes along and using Copen to tweak things. And he's got a sort of large, medium, small image, and he's resizing the viewport to see what happens. And he's implementing source set and sizes attributes on the image tag.
Right.
But also using a polyfill, which I believe is called, where's it gone?
He's using PictureFill, is he? Or?
Yeah, PictureFill 2, which has just been released.
Second edition.
The second edition. Yeah, so and I just found it really interesting because I hadn't actually come across this stuff before. This might be old and I might be, you know, behind the times, but this is a relatively recent video from Chris. And he's using source set and he's explaining how you define the image, so say a large image, and then you tell it how wide that image is in pixels. And, you know, what's unusual is we're telling a browser how wide an image is when a browser should know how wide that image is. But what the reason we're doing that is because if the browser knows ahead of time, before it goes and makes a request for that image, how big it is, it can either avoid making that request or make the request based on the size of the viewport. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
So they use that in combination with the sizes attribute in order to know which one to load. And what size it should actually be. But what's really sort of hard to get your head around, and Chris says this in the article, is that this isn't actually defining the size of the image and how it renders. That's done in the CSS.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, or it can be done with the height and width attribute. Does that make sense? So what you're still having to do is still having to resize images based on media queries, but this stuff is about which image it loads.
Right, okay. Yeah, now that makes sense.
Yeah, so it's kind of difficult to get your head around. There's also something that I've not come across, which is about you know, a size and then VW. Viewport width? Have you come across that? I haven't come across that.
I've read a little about it, but I'm not
Mr. Front-End by any means. But essentially, it's relative to the viewport as opposed to the container or whatever.
Mm.
So it's interesting. And he actually admits that he's gone wrong in the video, and there's a bunch of wrong things he says in the video. It's quite interesting because it's him figuring it out. And, you know, like I'm sure lots of us sit there and we play with different things that come out or we want to find out about, and we try and make it work. He's kind of doing that. And then he explains in the article beneath actually what did eventually work for him.
Right, got you. Okay.
Cool. So I think it's really useful, and it's sort of, you know, going forward, his use of this source set and sizes combined with the polyfill is probably what I would use if I was doing that.
Yeah, I think Chris does great videos actually. You know, there's one he did a couple of years ago on kind of front end performance of you know, speeding up your site.
Yeah,
and just great delivery and very enthusiastic.
Yeah.
He did a talk actually at Beyond Telerand all about SVG. You might be able to find the slides online. But yeah, again, I've read quite a bit on SVG, but he made some really good points, and he sort of showed how he'd started to implement it across some of his sites, CSS tricks and CodePen and that kind of thing.
Have you seen the media query inside SVG thing?
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah, that is cool, isn't it?
Yeah, and
I just saw that last week.
Yeah, there's so much you can do with SVG. It's kind of crazy. If you ever get the opportunity to see that talk, if it's listed somewhere, if we're speaking at an event you're going to, definitely check it out, because I really like the way Chris does stuff, because it's kind of a primer. You kind of, and you go along the journey with him, don't you? It's not like he's like, oh, that's not worked, let's try something, oh, that's worked.
Yeah, exactly. It's not it's what you and I would do trying to figure something out ourselves, as opposed to you know, someone setting up a pristine screencast and just showing you exactly how it works and it working first time and everything being perfect for them.
Yeah, he had also, seemingly within 2 days of being in Germany, adopted the nickname of Pork Knuckle.
Nice.
At the beginning of his size of Chris Pork Knuckle. So I think he was definitely getting into the cuisine over there.
Nice.
Okay, so that's on CSSTricks.com in the video screencast section.
Mm-hmm.
He's done
number 133.
Do you know that's like six times as many shows as we've done?
Yeah.
In a year and a half.
Yeah.
Anyways, right. From Chris to, Messrs. Edwards and Taylor.
Yes.
My joint favourite Yorkshireman, professional Yorkshireman, Mr. Ryan Taylor. And I was about to say, what's that thing where, is it outgoing when people don't win the next year? Outgoing? You'd say the outgoing Miss World or something.
Yes.
The outgoing young designer of the year 2013, he was, Mr. Dan Edwards. He can only not enter this year because he's too old. 25 or something.
Honestly.
But
sorry, Harry Roberts isn't 25 yet.
No. Dan Edwards.
Yeah, but didn't Harry Roberts win it this year?
Oh, Harry Roberts, I think he's about, 17 now or something? I think he's old enough to drink.
I always get a net at Wars.co.uk and it's some cyber squatter.
So they've released a new web app or a new online property called Oozled. 00ZLED. And they've knocked this out in a couple of weeks together. And I think it started on the back of a post that Dan did, I believe, on Medium,
mm-hmm.
where proper bloggers blog. And it was all about resources, and he just sort of compiled a list. I think he did a talk at his old school or something like that, and he put up a post with a whole bunch of sort of web resources and kept adding to it, got to about 250 and thought we probably should do something with these and turned it into Oozled. And
interesting.
Yeah, wrote Ryan in somewhere along the way, and they've managed to crowbar this together in like 2 or 3 weeks, seemingly, using Laravel and probably some hipster stack on the front end. I can't remember what. Probably some Node or something.
Sounds likely.
And I think the design that I think Dan handled that is really sweet. It's super quick as well for a. I'm not sure if Ryan's got some clever caching going on the front end there, but it was super quick and I was about to say very responsive, but I meant responsive isn't like you know. Interaction,
yeah, the original meaning of responsive, yeah.
Resizing one's browser window. I think it's really good. I mean, there are resource sites out there already, but I think they've done a really great job of kind of categorizing and visually it looks really, really nice. So you've got everything from payment solutions to CMSs, accountancy, Photoshop, job boards, that kind of stuff. Physical products, what's in that one? Ooh, Bellroy, my wallet from them. United Pixel Workers 12 South. And whilst you can follow sections, you can create your own feed. I think you can get RSS as well, that kind of thing. You can also suggest resources too. So if you've got something that you want to add, it doesn't automatically get added. I was chatting to Ryan the other day. There's an element of curation about it. So I think they're going to ensure that it stays kind of relevant and on topic and that kind of thing.
It's actually really useful for my students.
It is, yeah. I think it'd be really useful for anyone, whether you've been in the industry as long as you and I, or just starting out. I mean, a section here on speaking.
On books.
On books. Oh, yeah. Oh, there's a great book in there. Did you see it?
No, what's that?
Did you not see? No?
No.
Have a look closer.
I can't see a book. But...
No? Nothing?
No? No?
I can't actually find books. Where are books? Is it a subcategory? Where is it? What's it in?
Books.
Books. Books. It sounds like Bullseye. I love books, please, Jim.
I love books, please, Jim.
Where is it? Books. Come on.
I'm really struggling now with what you could possibly be hinting at.
Where are we? Ah, books. Here we go. There we go. Insights, the book.
Oh,
Sandwich between
Plug of some kind.
Don't Make Me Think and Smashing Book 4.
Don't Make Me Think and Smashing Book 4. Yeah.
But yeah, what it's really nice the way that they've done. They've kind of mimicked the colours from the branding and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's really sweet. But yeah, that, so the book section's got everything from kind of like development. Why are we in development? I might have to log an issue there. Design, business, all that kind of stuff. And then you can flip, if you kind of click on
the little question mark.
Question mark, it does a really sweet little animation.
Flips it over.
Flips it over.
So right. Flip reverse it.
Proper job.
To tell you about the book.
Yeah. So you don't have to actually go off to the site and check it out. Or they can. But nicely
done. Who's designed this?
This is all Dan Edwards, the outgoing .net. Oh, it's not .. I can't get out of the habit.
Oh, I can't believe you just breached branding guidelines.
Netmag. It's always .net, right? I mean, it's always going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to change. Young Designer of the Year 2013.
CMSs.
CMSs.
CMSs, as they say in Somerset.
Where would you put the apostrophe there? I've no idea.
You wouldn't.
Ooh, this stuff I've never heard of in here. It's a big old...
So I think Magento is misleading there. CMSs, Magento, really?
I'm not at liberty to comment.
Shopify, really?
Really?
Not that you haven't got a CMS, you know, component, but, you know, I'd say you're an e-commerce platform, Keir.
Me?
Not you personally.
I think there is an e-commerce section as well.
Do you think?
No, there is. Resources/e-commerce. It's cross-categorization going on here.
I see you've checked your own brands out.
Of course.
Of course. All over it. Anyway, that's really good.
Yeah. Oozled.
Oozled.
I'm not sure why they're called Oozled.
No, maybe the domain was just available.
Oozled. I'm surprised it was.
Does it mean, does it sound different in a northern accent?
In Yorkshire.
Yorkshire.
Oozled.
No.
What we'll have to do is ask Ryan, or Harry. We could ask Harry, professional Yorkshire people, to say that, record it. And then we can
play it back.
And see if it has hidden meaning that we southern softies.
Soft southerners don't know, yeah.
Don't know. Probably.
Talking of professional Yorkshiremen.
What, Jeff Boycott?
The next link.
Oh, not Jeff Boycott. Okay.
Is Harry Roberts.
The one and only.
The one and only.
Mr. Specificity.
Normalising design for better quality CSS.
Is this going to autoplay? Oh, it did. Oh, God.
Oh, mate.
Really? Autoplay on YouTube?
Unbelievable.
Mate, this is from 2013. We're
I thought you were a professional.
Cutting edge. This is
I thought you were a professional. I think it's only recently gone online.
I thought you'd bring me fresh content.
I have. It is. It's bleeding. It's not actually. It's published on the 18th of September 2013.
It's well
but anyway,
dead.
Okay, I have got a reputation for bringing old content to this show. But this is actually very good. And people might not have seen it. And it did the rounds a few days ago on Twitter. And I thought it was actually very good. Normalizing design for better quality CSS. And it's lots of stuff that I'm sure you've heard Harry talk about before, about maintaining small code bases and maintainability being the most important thing in creating CSS and all that stuff, especially when it comes to large sites. But the bit that I really liked about it was he sort of has this playful thing where he has a hashtag, you know, I think it's like hash why designers hate me or something, or designers hate me. And it's all about how he pushes back on designers when they want something to either look different. So there's a horizontal navigation, for example, and they've decided that on this page the dividers should look different, or they want something very specific that's going to cause him to write something very specific in the CSS. Then he pushes back and says, you know, goes for normalization over what the designer wants. He talks about how this has made him a little bit unpopular at times, and how it's sort of an uneasy relationship with the designers, and how they've gradually grown to understand this after the sites that he's worked on have launched, and people have talked about how fast the site is to load because he's not writing, you know, loads and loads of CSS just to make something, you know, very specific on one page of the website work.
Mm.
It's a really interesting talk anyway, and I thought particularly the bit about, you know, developers, front-end developers working with designers was really interesting, and the sort of the dynamic there, because I've worked in lots of environments where, you know, pixel perfect to the PSD is the mantra.
Yeah, we both have for sure.
Yeah, and if you do not, and if you can't, if you say you can't do that or you shouldn't do that, that's not good enough. It has to look like the design. And I think, you know, Harry's point is that, you know, first and foremost, it should perform quickly. It should, you know, it should be quick to load, and it should be, you know, that is to the benefit of everybody, of every user.
Yeah, I mean, Harry does some great stuff. His blog's amazing, and his talks are really informative. And I think what's interesting as well is Harry talks from a background of working in big organizations, where often most people start the other way, sort of freelancing, set up their agency or small agency and end up in a big organization. Harry seems to be going the other way, you know.
Well, which is what we did.
Yeah, yeah. I saw his talk at Beyond Tailoring last year. It was brilliant. And I think I've watched a couple online. But he has, you know, great insights from working on big projects, and things that you may not consider when you're working on your own or with one other person. You know, they're probably not, you can take something from Harry's talks every time and you might not see how they fit in. But, you know, if you start with those good kind of groundings, practices, foundations and practices, you know, as you move up through your career and work in bigger organizations, they're only going to hold you in good stead.
Yeah.
And there does still seem, I mean, the amount of talks that you see now about, you know, designers and developers and the sort of great schism between the two, I wonder whether that'll ever change, you know. I remember sitting in talks 7 or 8 years ago, sort of people saying, you know, designers and developers, we need to talk more and that kind of thing.
Yes.
But, you know, you probably need to throw like account managers into the mix, and all these other people should talk.
Yeah, everyone, you know, that's the whole, what the DevOps movement was about, you know, trying to get operations to work with developers, which was a new thing, believe it or not.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, you know, it has to happen more across the board, but it also, I think it's about big organizations particularly having a very strong design focus, at least that's because that's what non-technical people understand, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
They understand that PSD. I think possibly as people move away from PSDs a bit more as well, that might be something that, you know, diminishes, that, you know, designers maybe work more in the browser, work in HTML and CSS as, you know, straight off the bat, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting. I saw a demo of that McCaw.
Yeah, McCaw, yeah.
And that's interesting because that feels like, whilst it's so impressive, it does feel like we're kind of going back to kind of you design it and then it kind of just does all the code for you again.
I'm still not sold that will happen across commercial environments. It might be useful for very small web shops or, you know, people building their own site, that kind of thing, but I'm still not sold that that's going to happen in more complex environments. The other thing that I like about Harry, I was just thinking, was that, you know, most people that I know, most of the web developers I know, do not work for some bleeding edge or singing or dancing startup. Yeah, they're not working for in Silicon Valley. They're working in, you know, local government doing some ancient CMS that only works with IE6 or whatever. You know, that they're working in sort of quite not very progressive environments, shall we say. And I think the great thing about the way Harry positions his talks is that these people who are maybe frustrated by this stuff, these are things that everyone can do.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like he's saying, "Oh, use Grunt," or, you know, "Oh, we should be using SAS," or, you know, he's not pulling all these things in necessarily, even though he does advocate using SAS. It's not necessary just to take on the principles that he's promoting. You know, you could do this if you were just, you know, using CSS and a standard HTML layout. You know,
totally, yeah.
So I think it's really good anyway. And then sorry that it's old.
No. I was only joking.
Only jesting.
Pulling your
plonker.
Yes.
Anyway, finally.
Oh, really? Oh, this feels good. Feels like we're totally back on track now.
We are totally back on track. No messing.
No messing in relation to dogs and messing. No.
Anyways, and finally, dog tech is back.
Yes, indeed. Dog tech. Again, if we had a drum roll, this is where it would play.
And I need to thank Andrew Rogoff, I think his name is. I haven't got my Twitter open to see his name exactly, but Andrew Rogoff or Rodjoff. Thank you for this. Who, you know, believe it or not, listeners are now sending us dog tech gear.
Well, I'd like to point out, if I may, they're sending you dog tech.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
to be fair,
have a dog.
No, you don't have a dog. We could fix that. Christmas is coming.
But they're for life, Kieran.
That's true, but there's no reason you can't give them for Christmas.
It's like children; you can give, you know, they're just for Christmas.
2 weeks. Anyway, so this dog tech. This is mydogsvoice.com. Voice is spelled V-O-Y-C-E.
This is scary. What is this one?
Now, when I first saw this, I almost got very excited. I thought this was dog voice tech, as in, you know, my dog would be asking me for dinner and stuff and having a chat about, you know, what I think about, you know, UKIP or something. but actually... It's a bit misleading. So when it says that it's giving a voice to your dog, actually, what I'll do is I'll read the little blurb about it. Voice measures key vital signs and other wellness indicators through wearable technology and proprietary algorithms. Here, proprietary algorithms. Using that information, voice provides you with trends and valuable insights, helping you to stay proactive about your dog's overall health, behavior, and well-being. Now, effectively, this is like other stuff we've seen before, where it's a wearable thing on the dog's collar, and it simply takes some metrics about how much the dog's moving around, how much it's sleeping, how much it's eating, all that stuff, and gives you a nice dashboard that tells you if your dog's going to be overweight in 6 months, all that kind of thing. So it's not as exciting as I'd hoped, because when I actually got the tweet, I thought, oh my God, I'm going to be talking to Whistler tomorrow. But no.
So where do they, is that, does that go, does the wearable, apparently they're going to be the next big thing, you know, wearable.
Wearable tech, yeah.
Does that go around the neck or what?
It goes around the neck, and it looks pretty big, to be honest with you. It looks like something out of, you know, Buck Rogers.
Do you get the tennis ball for free? Is that thrown in? Or?
Well, I'd hope so.
But it does use a rechargeable lithium ion polymer battery.
Is there anything about pricing on this? This is shocking. Where's the pricing?
It's not available yet.
It's not available. It's notify me only. But anyway, I was a bit disappointed because I would, you know, so basically it measures activity, rest, calories, excuse me, heart rate and respiratory rate.
But I do like the Instagram integration into this teaser site. You can tap into a community of pet parents who care about their dogs as much as you.
Please
do.
Don't use the term pet parents.
I'm only quoting the site.
Yeah, it makes me twitch.
But you're a pet parent.
No, well, no, I'm a dog owner.
the way you talk about him, it's like a child. Oh, I can't go out tonight.
No, that's true.
Got to get back.
Got to get home. The dog's at home. Yeah, but if you leave your kids at home, you just haven't taken off you, whereas I haven't have to buy a new sofa or something.
Which is worse, Kieran?
Fair enough, yeah, probably having your kids taken off you. Well, yeah. But, you know, sofas cost a lot of money.
They can do, yes.
Yeah.
Do you not have a throw, some kind of...
He would take a throw off. It's pointless.
He must be getting on a bit now, that dog.
Three.
He knows he's older, 3 and a half, isn't he? December you got him.
He's the same age as Noah, isn't he?
Yeah. So what's he in dog years? Like 50 or something?
He's 21, yeah.
God, that was quick. They grow up so fast.
They do. Be able to
I remember when you could cage him in a 6x4.
Well, now you can't cage him in the entire house.
I know.
But anyway, we digress from dog tech.
My dog's voice, voice.com. Oh.
So if you, I'm presuming this is going to be lavishly expensive. So if you have a lot of money to spend on your dog and you want to be able to communicate with you, though I think that's a little bit misleading, then this is the thing for you.
You have to check out their about page. It's everyone and their dog.
Well, that's
the
normal,
whole,
isn't
the
it?
The whole team. Emily's Hartman, she's got three.
Oh, Wendy's dog's amazing.
That's almost symmetrical. I was about to say branding, markings.
Yeah, that's a really cute dog.
I do think Jeff, the president, has got a big hound there. That's some Marmaduke proportions.
Gosh, what is that? What is that? I don't know.
If I had a dog, I'd probably go for Dan's dog. Senior Vice President, Sales and Biz Dev.
I can't even...
What are you laughing for?
You want a pug?
Yeah.
Do you know that pugs have to be born via C-section and they have to have like oxygen and stuff to get them out?
No.
They can't breathe, Keir.
That's just mean.
It is mean, yeah. Anyway, they're very expensive. It's a big statement.
What, a pug?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I'm ill-informed.
Ill-informed about pugs.
Anyways, they're...
Quite like Paul's dog.
Paul, let me see, hold on.
This is great audio, by the way. This is, people are loving this.
I think if you were having... You would be... let's have a look. If you were a dog on this grid here...
Oh, he's a Great Dane, isn't he? I just realised that Jeff dog.
You would be Ben's dog.
I would be Ben's dog, would I?
Yeah.
I can't even find Ben's dog.
Ben, the director of the Programme of Vendor Management. That would be you.
Thank you, mate. That's... What's that? Is he a boxer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can pick one for me. I don't mind.
No, I'm not gonna go there.
Okay, I'll pick one for myself. I think I'd go with
Dan.
Yeah, I'll be the pug. That's cool.
Yeah.
Anyway,
a pug and a boxer.
Sums us up. Right. Yeah. Okay. Hopefully, more dog wearables will.
Yeah. If anyone has any dog kit, dog related. Anything, send it our way or send it my way.
Yeah, please.
At Kieran Masterton on Twitter, yeah. And it will be included in the Back to Front show.
Yeah, we will take sponsorship opportunities from dog tech loving companies.
Exactly. You know, voice, we love you.
Yeah.
You know, all is forgiven.
All that Kieran just said there.
Yeah.
We'll edit out.
Yeah, we'll edit out as long as there's a sponsorship in it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Cool. Excellent. Well, it feels good to be back. Episode 23.
It's almost
Finally.
An hour.
Yes, 51 minutes and counting. But only one incident of the fuzz. Careering,
yes.
Outside your window.
Yeah, and a few coughing and sniffing and from an ill Kieran. But apart from that, all good.
All good. Right, we shall return. No promises.
We will.
24. We'll be back. 24 is a good number.
It is.
24 is a good number. Your birth date, my birth date, my daughter's birth date. And one more than 23, which means progress.
Indeed.
As always, thank you for listening. Big thank you.
Thank you.
What is that? Thank you. A big thank you to the Webbiz, of course. Go check them out.
Thank you.
Web.is.
Mm-hmm.
And we shall return. Thanks again. Cheers.
Cheers.